Hey, Rob here, getting you ready for what you're about to listen to. We're trying something new this Survivor season. It worked out great during the Big Brother season. So we are doing a patron-only Q&A here every Monday night during the Survivor season. This is the first one of these, so I thought it'd be a good idea to let there be a preview out there on the main podcast feed of what we're going to try out. If you like what you hear and you want to be involved, and come on in next Monday night. You can check out everything going on in our patron podcast feed over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. If you can hold out a couple more days, October 1st is the way to go. That way you don't get charged for September and October from Patreon, but it is a great way to spend a Survivor season. We're going to be doing the patron Q&A. You'll get access to the Survivor feedback show a few days before it hits the main feed, plus access to our patron community on Facebook and Discord and much more. It's all at robhasawebsite.com/patron if you want to become a part of the RJP patron community, and you'll get a chance to hear what it's all about here in the free preview of the first ever regular season edition of the Survivor 41 Q&A with special guest Amon Adwin. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesarino back here on a Monday night for the first regular season edition of the Patron Survivor 41 Q&A, where every week we're going to hear from the patrons, and it's your chance to talk about the week of Survivor that's gone by. We'll look ahead to what's coming up in the future, and we are so lucky to have here with us one of the great ones. It is, you know him from, of course, the drag race for Hap Up, Big Brother, the great Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you?
Hey, I am good. I've had a fantastic weekend. Just feeling very, like, my weekend's still not over. I feel like it's not even Monday for me, but I've been so good. I'm so excited about Survivor. I had the opportunity to go over to NYC to Bryson Wendell's party and hang out with a bunch of Survivor legends. So it was a great time, and I think I was missing Survivor more than I thought that I was. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I was okay not getting it for a while, because two seasons a year can sometimes be quite a lot. Once it was back, I was like, you know what? No, this was, I felt the void now. So I'm really excited to be back.
Yeah, Amon, I want to hear all about your trip to New York for the Bryson Wen Presents premiere party. We'll get to that. We'll have an update from Randy Neupel on how the patron budget draft is going. And most importantly, we're going to get to your calls. We sent out the link on Patreon. It should be in the description as well, if I did everything right. If not, we can bump that up for people to call in. We want to hear your questions, your takes from each week on Survivor. This is a brand new patron show that we're going to be doing every week. This is going to be a lot of fun, I think, to love getting to hear what everybody has to say about the Survivor episodes. We'll do our best to answer any of your questions, hear your theories, whatever else you want to get into. It's all at robinsonwebsite.com/patron if you want to be a part of the show every single week. I say that because we're going to drop this episode in the main podcast feed so people can get a sense of what we're doing in every week, every Monday night here, 7 Eastern, on the Survivor 41 Q&A. Taryn and I did this all Big Brother season. It was a lot of fun. Looking forward to bringing some of that here to Survivor. So Amon, tell us, what was your experience like at the big Survivor party where you took over the RJP Instagram?
Yeah, and shout out to the person on Twitter that suggested that. I didn't even really think about that. But no, it was so fun.
That's where most of our ideas come from.
Yeah, honestly. It was fun. I got up bright and early because I was already going to New York City because a friend of mine got us tickets to go see a live taping of The View, which I found out that a few Survivor and Big Brother people actually went to go see The View after the party, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, mm-hmm. So I was already going. Yeah. And so
you
I
weren't there the day that they had the COVID scare, right?
No, I wasn't. I was like, damn. I told my friend, I was like, we got the wrong tickets. We should have came in on. Well, I guess it probably would have been better to not be around people that were mm-hmm. positive. Although
it was a false positive.
That it was a false positive. So it would have been a really cool or surreal experience to experience like live television in person. So yeah, so that was cool. I checked out the Harry Potter store as well for all the Harry Potter fans out there. I'll talk more about that later. But yeah, I got to the party. Sam Moore, I met up with him beforehand and we walked over. And it was just really, really cool. I feel like more and more that I'm around these, like, in these, like, situations with RHAP and with what have not. But I feel like it just, like, I feel like I get starstruck less and less because I just want to talk to everybody and be like, oh my God, like, I loved you on your season. How do you feel about it so many years afterwards? Are you having a good time? Like, who are you rooting for? How do you like Big Brother this year? It was just, everyone was so kind and gracious. And there was just, like, a lot of energy in the room, and it was just a really good time. I got to meet up everybody, all the Michelle Fitzgerald gays out there. I'm glad that I gave you guys your moment and your shout out. Mm-hmm. She loves you guys just as much as you love her. Wendell was amazing. Bryce, you know, we finally got to like meet because we've met, you know, in person once or twice before, but this is like the first time that it was like in an official capacity. So it was wonderful. Shout out to Bryce for inviting me as well. And Ali Lasher was there. Shout out to her. TikTok Nicole was there. Just a bunch of people. It was a great time. I had a great time.
Okay. That's really cool. Looked like a lot of fun. Amon, what'd you think of the first night of Survivor being back?
Well, at first I didn't have much to think because I could not hear anything.
Yeah. That's hard at these things. Like,
it's really hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And it is no shade to Bryce and Wendell. Like that's kind of the environment that you're there for. It's really not so much about watching the premiere as it is about being in a crowd with people. So it was still a wonderful time, but I did eventually go back home and get a chance to watch. And yeah, I really enjoyed this. I think the choice to really spread out the intro packages of the players was a good one, because you really get a chance to see them sort of explain their moves in the context of like why they're there on the island to begin with. So I really liked it. I felt like I was able to get a sense of, okay, who's going to be the person that I want to root for? Who's the person that I'm going to like love to root against? I feel like all of that sort of got introduced fairly well. Mm-hmm. This episode, I thought that the introduction of a few of these twists, you know, sometimes twists can be a little, Jeff can go a little crazy sometimes, but I enjoyed these. I felt like they were all rather engaging, and it sort of set the tone for just how fast paced this game was going to be. Because I'm not going to lie, when I heard the season was going to be 26 days, I was like,
monster.
That's not Survivor. It's supposed to be 39. Like he says, 39 days, one Survivor. Come on now. What is this 26 stuff? But I think that the fast hit the ground running pace really does make up for that. So yeah, I enjoyed it.
Amon, could they talk Big Brother into having a monster and have like, you know, a 52-day season?
I really don't want that. Don't want that. I know that I know that a lot of people say that the season is too long, and I get the critiques. It does sometimes get stale in the end game, but Big Brother is not meant to be comfortable. I feel like cutting down the season just so that you can feel better about the viewing experience, I don't care about that. Like if you can't last over like 80 to 90 days in the Big Brother house, then in my opinion, that's not Big Brother. That's just how I feel about it. Like you're not supposed to be comfortable. This is not vacation. You're not going to like some, you know, private island to just be there and lounge all day for a couple of weeks and then come home. No, you're supposed to be grueling and you're supposed to be mad. You're supposed to be pissed off. The studio lights are supposed to be baking you down to the bone. Like you're supposed to be uncomfortable. So I want that. I want it long. Make it 200 days for 200 all I care. Days. Make it all year.
Oh my God. All right. Well, let's talk about the results of week one of Survivor. And let's bring in one of the top five humans. Randy Neupel is here. And Randy Neupel has been keeping up with the patron budget draft. He set the prices for different players. Amon, I am under the impression that you have a team.
I do have a team. The team is sort of...
Okay, well, let's say hi to Randy first. Randy, how are
Hello,
you?
Hello, Randy. Hello, I am doing great.
Okay, Randy. All right, first off, top story... How many patrons ended up playing in the patron budget draft this season?
We had 588 entries into the
it's a big
patron
number.
Draft,
it's
which
a big
I was
number.
Pretty happy with. I was hoping 200, maybe 300, and we hit that pretty quickly after we announced it. So, yeah, 588 was our total.
Okay. All right. So that's incredible. And kudos to you for getting this all together. Now, could we get a recap of how the game worked, if anybody missed it? Okay, you had $10 to spend.
Correct. You had $10 to spend on up to four survivors from this current season that were all priced at a price between $1 and $5 based off of how early they were picked in my other 32 drafts that I ran. I kind of averaged the pick spot for them and based them.
Okay, we have the pricing chart here. Sam has this ready to go. All right, so let's take a look at our value chart, okay? And we see here that Abraham, a.k.a. Eric, he was in the $1 tier.
Yeah, he was a $1. These prices are very different now that we've actually met these people on the show. Makes you feel a little bit different about some of those good values and some of those people that were very much overpriced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, if we take a look at Sarah here, that was a $4 buy. Some people that if you bought Sarah, that's basically you got the Puya grenade.
I'm pretty sure that when I revealed these prices, that was one that you're like, that seems a little bit overpriced. I don't feel like you were too surprised there.
I was not. That I was no shade to Sarah, who was very fun on the exit interview this week. I was saying that I thought that she was going to be a little bit more of an underrated person, where I thought she might be like a $2, $3 person that would have been a good value. And then I think that it's sort of like in fantasy football when everybody has the same sleeper and you have to end up taking them early to get them. And so Sarah ends up here in the $4 tier.
I just know I was scared about my $5 investment of a winner pick JD the whole time because I feel regret after that pick, after seeing the premiere. It was a struggle for him.
Well, let me hear what Amon did with his $10.
Well, so I literally was reminded by Sam Moore to probably take part in this literally as we're grabbing drinks.
Yeah, Sam, keep the, I want to see the price chart.
So I'm actually
I actually forget.
I can help you out there, Amon.
I know that I got Xander. I know that I got who else did I get, Randy?
You have Brad.
Okay. I got Brad. So Xander for $2, Brad for $1. Okay.
Yeah. I tried to be, you know, a little economical here.
David Voce.
I got David for $2. Okay, that's only $5.
And then a big investment into Ricard.
Ricard. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So like stars and scrubs here. Went big, and then then a couple of cheapo depot.
Right. I'm going for some. I'm playing the long game here.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's what I would have done. I think that's the way to do it. Now, looking at the board here, and it feels like that the best buy after week one would have been Shan at $3.
Yeah.
Yeah, would have been very solid buy. She was out there doing her thing.
I also think Xander is a great buy because winning competitions gives you some good amount of points, and him at $2 seems like a steal.
Okay,
right.
Did anybody pick up points for players getting advantages?
Yes, both JD and Xander received the advantage that they earned from risking their vote. So there was that. There was the points for the team immunity win, and then also voting correctly at tribal. Those are really like the only, besides just surviving the episode, those were the only points that were really given out this week.
Okay. All right. Randy, do you want to highlight some of the leaders?
Yeah, Sam, you want to pull that, go to that one for us? So I know we have a tie. We're going to have a lot of ties throughout it. And one of the things that I did ask them at the end was what's your winner pick as a tiebreaker? So at the end of the season, we'll see some breaks of the tie. Okay, but we have about five or six people tied with 13 points.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. You want to highlight any of these names?
Okay, Melissa Knight.
Melissa Knight, Greg McBean, Griffin Pepin, Nicole Lucier.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
tied with 13 points. Amon, not too far behind, tied in 43rd with 11 points.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. 43. Okay. Oh,
two points back from the lead.
Yeah, and Randy, who's in last place?
Yeah, let's scroll all the way down.
Who got the Puya double grenades?
Expose them all.
There's a few of them down there that pick both Sarah and Abraham. that's rough.
Mm-hmm.
The rough premiere.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, Bensford.
Yeah. Well, I hope you
Ben
I hope they're dealing with their loss very well.
Yeah, you got to call out Ben Dollar for that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. His $10 didn't go that far in this one.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Randy.
I think I was about 140th somewhere in there. Kind of not too great, I think I had Abraham, so that kind of hurt me.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Randy, thank you for all your hard work. Anything else you want to highlight with the draft of the patrons?
I will be posting this in the patron group and on the Discord. I'll post a link to this file. This file will be updated every Monday evening whenever the Survivor patron Q&A will be. That's when I'll update these results, and you should be able to use that. So look to the patron group and for Discord for that link.
Okay. All right. Randy, thank you so much, okay?
No problem. Have a good one.
All right. Come on, you ready to take some calls?
I'm ready.
All right. I'm going to start with Roach, who was on. He was on hold first. I'm going to bring him in. Here's John David Roach. Yes, Biff. How are you? Hold on. Are you muted? Do we have you yet? Yes.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Now we got you.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. It's been a while. It's
how have you been?
It's been an interesting year, as you can imagine.
Yes.
Definitely working in a grocery store during COVID has been a thing.
Yes.
So, but we're doing all right, you know.
Okay.
Just happy to have Survivor back.
Happy to hear that. Yeah, you're doing okay, and thanks for all the great work.
Yes, absolutely. Man, it's been something. But okay. But so Survivor, honestly, this is the first. Well, this week has been the first time I've listened to a podcast in a while because I've been so busy with work and everything. So I'm really happy to have Survivor back and to have a distraction during the week. So, but anyway, I want to talk about the triangle versus the
sweat versus savvy. Yes.
So, do you think, I think both teams made the right call because the triangles would be, it's hard to tell, you know. Personally, I think I would have gone with the triangles, but I want to, what do you guys think on that?
Okay. Amon, did you have a take on this?
Get the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even have wasted any time because, look, I know that questions like that are always more challenging than you think that they actually are. And then when all of you nerds out there actually went and figured it out for yourselves, I was like, whoa, yeah, I would have never, ever guessed any of the amount that I saw.
Well, it took Corey B to design an algorithm to ultimately tell us how many people, how many triangles you get. And Biff, you only got one guess.
Yeah, one guess. That's what did it. Like, if you could have like a couple guesses, or if like at 4 hours mark, that's when you were able to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'd be a little different, you know.
Yeah.
One thing I was thinking of is 4 hours carrying water back and forth. That does take a lot of energy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So do you think with the lack of food available? Do you think that would play into your decision at all, or is it just straight up just carry the water?
For me, I think it's just going to be carry the water regardless. Like, I just, point taken about like not having the energy, but for me, I'm like that. For me, I think the ultimate best move is to just convince everybody else on your team to go ahead and do the water and just make sure that you're not the person doing the water. That's as far as it goes for me. So I just push all the big, strong gentlemen to the front. Thank you for your service. We'll see you when you get home.
Yeah. And this came up on a lot of the podcasts. The B&B was talking about this as well, where that you really like can't blow it too badly on the water. Like, I guess you could like run out of time, but it seemed like it wasn't really that close, where you could just get the triangles wrong and then you don't get any flint. You can't boil the water. You can't, you know, start your fire. And so that really would be like the biggest thing. So yeah, you might have two people that are tired in the challenges, but having no fire is going to be the worst case scenario.
Yeah. I after the episode aired, I agree. Like, while the episode was airing, I was like, oh man, armchair quarterback.
You weren't the only one. Go,
yeah, I know.
That was all over Twitter.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. But my first guess on the triangles was 41, and now I know that I was wrong. So yeah, I would have been going without fire too. So
even when I saw the diagrams that people were, because somebody like made one where you could follow along with each triangle, and it still didn't make sense to me how some of those shapes were triangles. So I would have been doomed from the start. Like, I would not have contributed to that conversation at all if our team had ultimately decided to go with the triangles. I would have been in the background.
I think you would probably need to have like all six people do it, and then you need like three or four people need to come up with the same number before I think you could lock anything in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. And, yes, that's rough. Mm-hmm. That's really rough.
Okay. All right. Biff, anything else going on?
Other than not really. I mean, honestly, I just, it's been my day off, so I just wanted to stop in and say hey to you all, and I'm really happy to have Survivor back again, and
yeah,
let's go.
That I am too, and it's good to see you, Biff.
Good seeing you.
Okay. All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. All right. Let's take some more calls. Let's say hello to Gerard is here. Okay. Gerard, how are you?
Hey, Rob, that's Jared, actually.
Jared, sorry about that.
No worries. I am really well. I have been a listener since season 30. I lived overseas for the longest time. I've never really been able to take part in the community because I watch the episodes late. Everything's OBE, but I've been a patron since I was in line to come to New York right at the beginning of the pandemic, and so we were so excited to come see you. So I've been a part of the community for a long time, never really been able to contribute or be a part of this. And tonight I was here, it popped up, the Patreon thing popped up. So I'm so delighted to be here.
Great.
Really happy to see you. Amon, hello to you as well.
Looking hello.
Fabulous. thanks for this opportunity. And then it's great to have Survivor back. Great to have the podcast. Great to hear Steven, everything that's going on. The one question that I was really hoping someone would uncover, and maybe I've missed this, but when it comes to the shot in the dark,
yeah,
I have seen on International Survivor, I won't spoil anything, but there has been equivalent type options where you can break an urn and maybe you get a safety after you've been voted out. And in those cases, it was not an immunity idol where the next number of votes went out. It just kind of canceled the vote that night. And everybody that went to tribal just went home. Are we sure that if you roll your shot in the dark and you pull the safety vote, that if you're voted out, that then the next number of votes will fall to a survivor and someone else will go home? Or does it just cancel?
So can I ask what international season did this?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's okay. So I'm watching Australian Survivor. I still have
episodes left. Like, so the game ends. Well, here's the difference with Australian Survivor and US Survivor is that Australian Survivor needs a million things like this to stretch and stretch and stretch to get it to their 50 days. Whereas I think in this like 26 day season, I don't think there's any way that they're going to just cancel the tribal council.
Gotcha. Mm. Yeah. That does make sense in terms of the timing, but it seems weird that they would play it as a safe rather than like a super idol that you can play immediately or that has to be played. But I was just curious to see if that's how it was going to work. That makes a lot of other things make sense in terms of
people had a lot. I'm sure that this will come up a lot. The shot in the dark die. Amon, do you like the shot in the dark?
I do, because it's a Hail Mary. If you feel like there is a chance that you can go home, you still have one last thing within your control to stop that from happening. And it really does sort of force you to maneuver around an entirely new set of rules when thinking about who you're going to try to get out. Like, I mean, in seasons past, it's just, oh, we got to make sure it's a blind side. They can't know anything about it. But now it's like, well, now we got to make sure that they feel comfortable enough. But also, you don't want to make them feel like they're too comfortable, because then they might think they're lying and they might use the thing. So now we got to, like, what if they have an idol on top of that? And then what if both people play? So it's like a bunch of new things that you have to really account for. And I love that. Like, if I know that my back is against the wall, I am praying as long as I live that I get a chance to do that shot in the dark and just have that moment of like, yes, I'm not going anywhere tonight, baby. So I love it. I love it.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's nice that when your vote doesn't count, I mean, it's particularly when you're up against the wall, you know that your vote is useless to be able to use it like that. Mm-hmm. I also thought, what if they were to, and it's a different dynamic and maybe it's too gamey, but shot in the dark is only really useful when you really have no other options and it's a Hail Mary to save yourself. But what if you had a chance one time, you can roll a dice, so to speak, and I don't know which odds would make it the most interesting, but there's a chance you're going to lose your vote completely. Maybe there's a chance that nothing happens, or maybe there's a chance you can double your vote. Maybe half of them are lose your vote, one chance to double your votes, two chances you just no change, you get one vote or something like that. So it's a really risky. You may lose everything, but you may end up getting two votes or an extra vote or something like that. It starts to get a little gamey, I know, but then it makes mm-hmm. it something that is usable outside of just...
Mm-hmm.
when there's no chances left.
Well, I think there's going to be other things this season where you have the chance to, you know, get an extra vote or get an advantage or lose your vote. So I think they probably don't want to do too much of that here. Like this is like dipping their toe in the water with this. And maybe if it's a big success, maybe they do more with it in the future.
I see. Right.
My question was, do we know what the last night to play it is? Because I kind of feel like that maybe a lot of people might end up doing it all on the same night.
That's what I think should happen, too.
Oh, I can see that. I don't know when that last one was. I do think that everyone gets a 1-in-6 shot, though. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted to play. I feel like they'll restock the urn for everyone that comes back in. So there is that opportunity. Mm-hmm. With the caveat that if everyone is safe, then they're all thrown out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Jared, sorry we missed you in New York last year. Hopefully we'll do it one of these times.
We will. So thanks for this. Last thing I wanted to say, Rob, the KiwiCo drop was fantastic.
Oh, with Dominic? Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good. So thanks for everything, guys.
Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. Thank you, Jared. Bye. Okay. I got the green light from Nicole Amon that after the Big Brother 23 season is over, I think that I'm going to get Dominic to give us his season in review thoughts. We'll do a patron podcast.
Oh, he's
very excited. Wants to weigh in on the season.
Just following in his dad's footsteps. Love to see it. Yeah. The legacy of it all. Love it.
Very excited. Okay. Let's say hello to Solomon is here. Okay. Let me bring on Solomon. Solomon, how are you?
What up? What up?
Solomon, Hello. How are you?
Rocking the New York Bryson Wendell's.
Oh,
party.
Were you there?
Solomon, I was going to say, I could have sworn I was watching somebody's Instagram videos and I thought I saw you like with the survivors, like right in there. I think maybe I was watching like Lauren's Instagram story. I said, is that Solomon?
That sounds about right. Yes. But I did meet Lauren. Did meet her cousins. And, you know, I found my way to the after party. I'll play like this. The night somehow ended going to a bar at 3 a.m. with Chris Hammonds. Somehow that's how my night ended. I don't know how I got there. I just somehow happened and we had a great talk. So shout out to Chris Hammonds. Mm-hmm. You are amazing.
So you ended up after hours with Chris Hammonds somehow.
Some way, somehow. And it's like, it's not someone I was expecting to like, you know, see there. Like he wasn't like on like the roster on like Instagram, but just saw him. He's yelled Boomer sooner.
Yeah. He'll like fly in for stuff that he's that, you know, he loves it.
We had a great conversation. And yeah. You know, I was, you know, sneaking my way in there, you know, going to after parties. Hey, it's just, I was off that week. So
Amon, did you get in any after parties?
No, I had to get my ass back to Philly like at midnight. So I could not attend. I wanted to, though. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay. Solomon, did you get any good scoop from survivors? Any good insights from about the episode?
It's tough because on that day, like, you know, they say doors open at 6:30. So, of course, me being a survivor nerd, I actually get there at 6:30, right? Crazy idea. So, you know, just sitting there, no one was there yet, you know, just having a drink. And then once 8 o'clock comes around, the show comes on. That's when survivors started to walk in. And then when I walk around, I start to realize that no one's actually watching the show. They're just like grabbing people. Like, if you want to talk to either Dean or Michelle, you had to be there early and wait at least 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. So yes, you did.
So at that point, I was like, you know what? Screw this. Let me just go find survivors. And I was just grabbing, okay, Wendell here, Dom here, Lauren here, Jason here. Like, it was a lot. But once I had a few more drinks in me, things were just flowing great.
Yeah. Okay. So Solomon, what do you want to talk about?
So Jeannie had this weird vote where she sort of just threw it away.
She voted for Ricard. Yeah.
Now, is she some sort of like genius mastermind where she's, you remember on Fessy's season of Big Brother, when Brett did like this crazy vote and like put it on Scotty?
Mm-hmm.
Is Jeannie low key this like mastermind genius that is going to try to put this on JD? Because JD and Ricard are on like two sides of
the Do you think there was a hinky vote at the first tribal council?
Maybe. I mean, I feel like the Fessy precedent isn't really a strong one. So I don't know if I would put that argument in there, but I mean, it's always possible.
Bevo is a moron.
I guess.
No, I guess. Don't think so. I don't think this at all, because first off, if there was a hinky vote, I think you would have gotten a confessional from Jeannie of like, I think I'm going to try something a little, you know, I'm going to drop a Jeannie bomb tonight. So I don't think that was the case. I mean, what we've talked about on the podcast is, was there a possibility that they were worried Sarah was going to do the shot in the dark, and basically was this sort of just the insurance? Okay, if she ends up playing her shot in the dark, then could we tie the vote and then send home a different person?
Right.
I did not think about
does
that
she
part.
Put her that vote on right. Brad. So to me, it made me wonder where I thought Ricard was really good through the whole episode, but at tribal council, it seemed like he didn't get his way. I wonder ultimately, did people not want to go with Ricard? And maybe is there a gap between Shan and Ricard?
Yeah, it felt that way to me too. I mean, anytime you get up in the middle of tribal council and you have to go and whisper something while Jeff isn't talking, it's like you're losing your sense of control. And I feel like he sort of was, I think we saw like a mini spiral with him in the tribal council. So I'm really interested to see how he's going to continue to behave throughout the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe was Ricard scrambling more than Sarah was, where like, I'm not sure like where the three of them are talking. Did Ricard say like, Hey, everybody, let's get together. Let's do Brad. And then is Jeannie tight with Brad, where, you know, we just didn't see it. So there's a lot of like guessing on our end.
Right.
Definitely.
Yeah. What do you think of that, Solomon?
Yeah, I was just very confused, but I did like the whole, you know, now that there's you have to class 50%, you know, Black and Indigenous people of color. And when I saw JD and Chantel's her name, they had this very cool, I mean, I don't have any siblings, but it felt like a brother sister kind of thing. And we can only get that because JD's the youngest person there.
Yeah.
Chantel's someone from Canada. And, you know, they're both, you know, people of color. So seeing that, like, you know, him like reach out to him and say, hey, I think, like, what's going on? I'm with you. I thought it was a very good moment to see. I think that's something we can only see from 41 and above. So I thought it was a great moment. I think it really speaks to how well she played.
Yeah, I've definitely got like, you know, big sister, little brother vibes from the two of them.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I liked that moment too, because it really did feel like, I mean, you never really know what survivors are really thinking sometimes at tribal council. So you could tell sometimes that they're lying to one another, but it is like nice to see Chantel tell JD, like, look, no, I got you. Like, I'm with you. Like, I'm not doing this to, we might, like, the plan might be flipping, but I'm not flipping on you. So like, just steer the course and just let me handle this. Okay. So now I thought that was really cool to see.
Okay.
And I guess the other question I had is David in trouble for the next tribal? Because Xander is, you know, the golden boy. He has an extra vote that the whole people know about. So I feel like you can't vote him out, because if you go to a tribe swap and you're with him, you're really going to need that vote. So is David next to go? Because Tiffany is now very loyal to Evie, because Evie's one, you know, who said, hey, we have to keep Tiffany. And then her, I believe her name is Lauren now. Like, they're very close. So is David, is his head on the chopping block for the next yellow tribe tribal council?
Yeah. Amon, do you have any thoughts on that group if they go back to tribal?
I'm trying to remember who David is.
So Devoche, David, he's the guy who he didn't want to be filling up the barrels with the water, and then he ultimately got suckered into doing that with Xander.
Yeah, it does look like he's probably going to be definitely on the opposing end next time. So he'd better hope that they win, or at the very least, just use these next, because the cycle is what, like 3 days every elimination. Yeah. Well, I guess it's different. That's different this time around, but it's used this time now to get back in.
I do wonder, though, because I think we see survivors deal with this. It's like, you know, for Evie and Liana, they look like they're the tight pair, and Tiffany is loyal. Mm-hmm. But if Tiffany isn't helping them win challenges, are they willing to basically like go intentional, like Matt Singh? Like, are Evie and Liana like willing to say like, okay, we might go to every single tribal council and it'll be just us, but maybe as long as we're together, when we come out of this, we're going to be okay.
I mean, I hope that's not the case. Only because, I mean, it is a numbers game in the beginning, mm-hmm. right? Like, as long as you're on the right, safe side of the number. So I understand it from that viewpoint, but like, if you're literally willing to sour your resume by going to council every single time, I'm like, mm-hmm. sometimes I have to start questioning, okay. Yeah. I have to start questioning whether or not you are actually engaging in Survivor the way that maybe you should
because
be.
Because not every challenge is physical. But in the pre-merge, like, they're kind of all physical. Like there's very few times that we get like a pre-merge, like, okay, this is like a mental competition. This is a puzzle. Like, this is like, you know, involves balance. Like, almost every single pre-merge competition on Survivor is some version of go out and row the boat and then carry the bags and bring the, and, you know, dive down and then bring back the puzzle pieces. And so there is that big like physical element that's like the first half of almost every challenge.
Mm-hmm. And you're gonna, I mean, and you know, I mean, Sarah's lovely, but why not also get numbers on your side that are also really good physically, like, you know, mm-hmm. just keep your team together and then have this little thing with all the girls on the side as well, like the circle within the circle. How about we focus on that? Obviously with this time that they lost, so they had to do it, but I would just focus on winning and making sure that, you know, I also have other threats that are on my team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, what do you think of that, Solomon?
No, I totally agree. I think for me it's really going to rely on Xander and Evie and their relationship, because in the episode they made it seem like it was David who was the one that Evie had to do a little more work on. So as long as she has Xander in those two votes, then she'll be fine. But if Xander starts to think, wait, now they're going to keep voting out guys, we need to take a girl out, I don't think Evie's on board with taking out one of the girls. So that's where that mm-hmm. Xander holds all the power with this two votes.
Mm-hmm. Do you think if Xander feels like it is coming down to it, does he use his two votes at the next tribal council?
You have to save it for the swap. Just in case your swap's screwed, I feel like no one should really use it pre, so I feel like you have to save it.
I know, but he's probably going home at the next tribal council if it goes in that direction.
It's tough because he's a physical threat, and then mm-hmm. like in terms of the math, like you never want to have a 10-15 shot of playing against the guy. So it's tough, but I just don't see Xander using it pre-merge. He can always flip it in a way that I'm an honest guy. I told you guys about it. Let's mm-hmm. use this if we get swap screwed. So I think that's what Xander's play is going to be.
Okay. All right. Well, Solomon, great to catch up. Have you listened to David and Jessica yet this week?
No, but I wanted to give a shout out to Stephen Fishback, because it's been, what, a year and 9 months since we've heard his voice. But to end off the know-it-alls, saying that the reason why Devins is on the why Sarah and Abraham lost is because it's a double vote out, and Devins got voted out twice. I was like, fishback. What a great joke, but that one hurt.
Brutal.
Devin's is my guy. So yeah. I feel bad.
Well, Rick Devin's mother-in-law was defending him on Twitter. So take that, Steven.
That was a mean joke, but Devin's is my guy. I feel bad saying it.
Yeah, he can be very rude sometimes. Okay, Solomon, thank you so much. Okay,
see you guys soon.
Take care. Bye. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and take a question from Cable. Cable, how are you, Cable?
Yeah, fantastic. How are you?
Yes. How are you?
Good, good, good. I'm glad the Shot in the Dark's been mentioned. I know that I understand I don't really understand the game, to be totally honest, and we're trying to work out how it's going to work, but I'm a bit one of those people that now I look at the visual style of the game as well, and the art department do a fantastic job across a lot of the Survivor seasons internationally, but I still don't understand the dice. Now, I know you and Steven talked about the six sides of a dice, 1 in 6 chance, makes sense. But the dice, like you said, you have to roll it or have to do something. That has to be part of the chance. It makes no sense of it being a die. Why not be a fire token then? Because they put it in a slot. I don't know.
Do you have any thoughts about the production design of it being a shot in the dark die?
I did actually. It did give me pause for a second. I was like, wait a second. So how is this? So what do they do? They put it in the slot and then it like falls down into something and then it falls out. Like, because that's sort of, I mean, I guess I could get behind that. But you could just, I mean, I guess the point is you want it to be 1 in 6, right? So what other six-sided things do we know of other than die? Yeah. So I guess I understand.
I think it, look, the die is fine for me, but I almost feel like that it should be okay. You basically you're gonna play, and then Jeff like is gonna count the votes and says, okay, I guess you, because then you don't get it, because then you lose your vote. I guess that's the part they have to account for, because I kind of feel like that they should have, like, I'm imagining like a game show with like a big giant die. It's like, all right, Amon, you're gonna play. All right, if Amon rolls a safe, he's gonna be safe. All right, here we go. But I guess then you can't, like, they gotta account for you not voting also. So
right.
It's like a cool idea, but I feel like that it's a little half baked still.
Yeah, totally agree.
Go ahead, Cable.
Yeah, I totally agree. I like the ideas. I like that they're coming up with ideas, but I think it was like, I agree, what you just said, Rob. I think half baked is
you
like,
had
yeah,
a year idea. Off.
Yeah, well, exactly. Because I was almost thinking what Amon just said as well, that, you know, you see it go in the slot, they show us that scene. But then you're like, oh, cool, we'll see it come out the bottom and roll, and then that could determine whether you're safe or not. No, we don't see that. I understand for the suspense of the episode, they wouldn't show us that. But, like, shouldn't you show this the mechanic of that's how it becomes a safe or not safe, that the die has to fall a certain way?
Yeah,
that would make more sense, but it's not.
I guess that they want a couple of, like, reactions of, like, okay, you're going to play? It's like, okay, so you don't even know if you are safe or not. So first off, they gotta like give the reveal of like, okay, that somebody played the shot in the dark, and then they're gonna do the reveal of if you're safe or not. And then I guess they want like the person like going nuts if they are safe, and then everybody's shocked reaction. So I think they gotta figure out a way to get everybody's reactions all at the point when everybody's sitting back down.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's supposed to be anonymous, I just hope that whatever that box is like it's quiet, because I feel like I'm going to be able to hear all the way back sitting with Jeff. Like, I know what die sounds like when it's shaking around in the surface. So I just hope it's quiet. I hope it's like a padded surface.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes. But I mean, I think that there's going to be some intrigue all season long with the shot in the dark die in the first time that we see it go through. Cable, if you had to predict, will there be a shot in the dark die in season 42?
I don't know. A lot of these twists, I guess, are dependent on how they work the season that they're used in. So if it works and it was great television, then sometimes they get brought back or there's an evolution. But who knows? I thought fire tokens were here to stay for a while. And
it sounded like they were until Mike White said it's not fun.
Yeah, I was going to ask Amon, like, what do you think about no fire tokens this season after they sort of built it up for the last season, said this is a thing moving forward, and now it's gone?
I was never really been a fan of the fire token, so I'm fine with them going. I felt like a lot of it was so anticlimactic, and it felt like Jeff really was trying to get people to use it. Like, I think he was speaking. It was during that tribal council with David and the rest of them. I forget who he was like. Sounds like David's answer means you should use your die. So you gonna do it? You gonna do it?
Yeah.
26 days.
Yeah.
Don't lose your chance.
Well, producer Jeff, I think, is like, hey, it's the first episode. We got to get somebody using our thing, right? We got to establish it in the premiere.
Exactly. Let's just get the ground running.
Mm-hmm.
Ground running.
Yeah. Okay.
On the last thing with the die, though, do you think anyone will strategically talk about using the shot in the dark before the vote? Before people get up to vote at tribal, like they'll say, I'm doing it tonight, 1 in 6 chance. Look, it's still a Hail Mary, but it may sway votes a different way.
Oh, definitely. I think there's definitely going to be, you know, targets that are going to emerge, and the rest of them are going to be like, okay, you should all try to get secure your safety so that all of the votes none of it will blow back on us. So I can definitely see that happening. Question is, did they explain? So, like, anybody can just go for it, right?
Yes.
Except obviously the person that eventually is going to win individual immunity, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
I'm assuming that it even lasts that long.
I would think that you can't do, I can't see why it would make sense to do the shot in the dark while you have individual immunity. I mean, I guess you could, but I don't know why it would make sense.
So in theory, if all of them get safety, then what happens?
So, I don't know. I guess everybody's safe, but they have no votes. So they don't really have agency over who's going to ultimately go home. I think the time like where it makes sense where to do what you're talking about, I think is like if there were 7 people and there were 4 people in the majority alliance and 3 people in on the bottom, and it was sort of like assume that there was 1 person going home, then I guess I need paper. I don't know. Trying to talk it all through.
Yeah,
because it's not like they're playing an idol. So right. It's like, okay, well, I gotta put. Okay, here it is. Okay, so it's like that now it's like, hey, I'm definitely playing my shot in the dark. So now the group of 4 might say, hey, we got to put at least, we might have to like split our votes on these people. But then if the 3 end up all sticking together and not voting, does that help them? Does that get to a tie? But I feel like there's still more.
Ooh,
yeah, I think there's still enough people that on the tie break vote.
They just decide who goes. They're like, okay, well, y'all can't vote now. So,
okay. I don't know. Maybe there's a scenario where it's gonna be a tie, and then they get it to where there's a, maybe there's something you can do.
Yeah, I just thought, especially with the exit interview with Sarah, I think she had the opportunity. I think she knew she was dead in the water, but why not just say, look, you know, I'm gonna be doing it, guys. So maybe you need to think about your vote. Yeah, it's a small chance, 16.7 or whatever, but it's a chance that one of you else is going home. So then it might, you know, again, that, you know, tribal was live, and it would have been definitely live if people didn't started scrambling. Or, hang on, where are we moving the votes to? So,
yeah.
By the way, Sarah did send me a DM on Instagram and apologized for all the cursing on the exit yes. interview. And she said she thought that I was going to bleep all of her cursing. I said, Sarah, you're making a lot of work for me.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bleeps.
I haven't listened to that yet, but no, I'm even more excited to do so.
She was fired up. We like the energy. Okay.
Yes.
Cable, anything else going on?
No, that's it.
Okay.
I want to say, Rob, thanks. Thanks. Not that you went away, but having you back talking about Survivor Live is fantastic.
Yes.
So it was good. Actually, I was mowing the lawns, put the headphones on, and listen to everything all in one hit.
Thank you very much for that. Yeah, I didn't go anywhere, but it is fun to have Survivor episodes back.
Absolutely.
Okay. Cable, take care. Okay. Me. All right. Yep. Bye. All right, let's say hello to Jill. Jill, how are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you great.
Okay, I assumed I was on mute and then I wasn't. So
no, you're doing great. Jill, what's going on?
Not much. I mean, my questions were mostly going to be like about what's it called? The shot in the dice.
Shot in the dark.
Shot in the dark. Yeah. But now, I mean, you guys have talked about it a lot. So I'm trying to think like, now I'm wondering, do you have any predictions at all about what the Beware advantage is going to be? Because yes. We saw him hide that. Okay.
This is a good question because in the opening moments of the show, Jeff said, all right, here's an advantage. It's called the Beware advantage. It comes with danger. Yeah. Amon, what does a Beware advantage mean
I've
to you?
I've thought about it a lot. So I mean,
it sounds like something similar to what we've been seeing in Big Brother 23 with the high risk, high reward, high rollers high room, roller something room. That...
Yep.
Something that'll give you a really good amount of power, but it also will cost you maybe potential safety. I mean, I feel like Beware. I mean, what else is there to be beware of in Survivor other than getting your torch snuffed? So maybe it's something as drastic as that, where it's like if this power does not work in your favor, you're the one that goes home. So, but if it does work in your favor, maybe you can send anybody in the game out that you want. Like,
so
something like that.
So interesting. So maybe this is an advantage that if you play it and it works, you're safe if you get the most votes. But if you don't, then you do go home.
Right.
Wow.
I feel like your game is done.
Danger is fun. Else, yeah.
That is dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it makes sense that it'd be like a risk reward. I guess they are kind of doing that. That is sort of the shot in the dark. It's like you could lose your vote, but and plus with the wheel thing, you could lose your vote or you can get an extra vote. So I guess they are really doing a lot of that stuff. I'm just trying to think the word beware. Like, I don't know. It's like my thought was if it's an advantage and not like a risk, then like what would that mean? Like, could you get some information that like, I don't know, it's like a here's a secret information about like what the votes from this past tribal were or something like some kind of like beware of this kind of thing. But none of it makes sense. I don't know anything.
That kind of makes sense where you could just be like, okay, you're
be aware.
Getting, yeah.
Be
yeah.
Aware.
Be aware. It was a typo.
Be aware advantage.
I messed it up.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause beware doesn't sound like an advantage. It sounds like a Devin Pinto, like, this is not an advantage kind of thing. Like
This is not an advantage.
But yeah, I was just curious about that. And like shot in the dark too. Like,
that is not an advantage.
There it is. You're fast on that.
Okay. No, it's slow.
That was slow.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have the right page open.
I say, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a specific one though.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, with the shot in the dark, I'm thinking like, I don't know. Do you think this was a direct result of the time off that Jeff had? Like, you know, we have long hair Jeff now after the break. Like, is this some kind of like balance patch? Like, is he trying to like make idols less or more powerful or something? I'm just trying to think of like where the intention was behind the shot in the dark or just add drama. I don't
know. Yeah. Amon, do you have any thoughts on this?
I believe him and the rest of production when they just say like, look, we can't do Survivor for 39 days. It's only going to be 26. So we have to throw some things in here to spice it up to make it as interesting and as dynamic as possible, because a regular shortened season of Survivor would be rather unappealing, I guess, just served to you plain. So they just wanted to give us a few more things to have to think about and for the players to scare themselves into maybe making bad decisions and giving us compelling TV. So yeah. I think that's what it's about.
Yeah. I definitely get the sense from like Jeff and the production team, their vision is that they want people playing like aggressive, super aggressive always. They want to get rid of any sort of like passive gameplay. And also if you know, there's ever not like aggressive gameplay, they want variance and randomness so that you never know. Like, you got to watch Survivor because you're never going to believe what just happened tonight, because even we never saw this coming. Can you believe everything has got, you know, you know, it's almost like that. I feel like in going through it at all, it's like after Tony played in Cagayan, and every single week was like, oh my God, like, can you believe that? I think that they've tried to like inject as much stuff into the game to make it that there is like some blind side that you never saw coming happening every week, whether that is like by way of somebody having a strategic plan or by some, you know, magic thing that's in the game that just sent somebody home when it wasn't supposed to be their turn.
That makes sense. That's the monster, I guess, is the randomness.
That's the monster. Mm-hmm. And so you gotta stay one step ahead of, you never know what's gonna what trap door is gonna open up next. So you better be playing your hardest, because there's no place to hide, because the fickle finger of fate is gonna find you one way or another.
Yeah.
Blame Tony is what I'm getting.
Blame Tony.
Yeah, I don't know if you blame Tony, but I kind of feel like that they're chasing the Tony high still.
Yeah, I can see that.
And it wasn't just Tony, to the rest of the Cagayan's credit, like all of them were sort of like active participants in making that season as dynamic That's as true. It was. So shout out to all the Tony and all the people that were opposing him that made it made
second
him
best
behave
season
that way
of all time, according to RHAP.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I'm also thinking about, to bring it back to the shot in the dark, could you imagine a scenario, and maybe the numbers wouldn't make, I need paper too, but like, let's say it's between two people, and those two people know that it's like, it's either you or me, I'm going to write your name down, you're going to write my name down. Would it make sense to like, not play your shot in the dark, hoping that they would, because then they could potentially lose their vote, and then you have an extra vote over them?
Okay, so this is like the classic scenario. You have the two people on the bottom and then the rest. It's like basically like a 6-2. I guess maybe in this scenario, this is sort of like a 4-2. And then it's like, okay, we don't know who has the idol. So let's put two votes on this person, two votes on this person. And even if they play their two votes together, but if you put your one vote on the other person that you were with, yeah, I get, you know, it could work, or the other person could hit the shot in the dark. It is like a prisoner's dilemma.
It's another one. They love them, I guess.
They love
yeah,
them.
I did see someone in the chat earlier say something along the lines of like you scaring the minority into all of them using their shot in the dark, and then you would have the power over who goes home. So why that could also work for people that are in the minority with other people and they know that they're, you know, on the chopping block. So might as well make them lose that vote. Send them out the door.
Yeah.
Sorry about it.
Okay. Jill, I heard that you are back on track for the Royal Rumble from the Kiva.
Yes, this is true. It's been a rocky road with the Royal Rumble. I mean,
sorry that if I made work for you with my idea of turning the Royal Rumble into the wheel.
Honestly, that I thought that was really funny because Akiva, I know now we're off subject of Survivor, but Akiva emailed me and basically told me this new idea. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe. And so I'm going along with it. And then I'm listening to the next podcast, expecting it to be like, okay, Rob must really be into this idea, because it felt like it was kind of pushed, like, let's go. And then he didn't even like tell the audience what was happening or tell you that, like, I was like, wait, what? So then I got really confused.
Akiva keeps the cards very close to the chest.
Yeah. You know, and I appreciate it. But yes. I appreciate, you know, trying new things, trying to make it fresh, kind of like what Jeff.
We ask Mike White before every Renap idea. Is
you
it fun?
Mike White.
Yes. And Mike White's like, it's okay, but I think fun.
What I'm scared of is like, you know, people like reboots. They don't like it when reboots change anything. So I feel like the audience is going to be mad if it's not, you know, the same old formula again. Okay. I'm working with a game that allows for 40 people instead of 30, but they don't require like men to fight women, so I have to mod the game, literally like hack it to make it work.
Wow. Well, Jill, thank you for all your amazing work to try to make this year's Renap Royal Rumble a possibility.
I will say this character creator might not be great, so don't blame me if people don't look totally accurate, but
yeah,
doing what I can do. So
Jill, thank you so much. Anything else?
No, I could probably talk about Survivor forever, but I'll let you go. I'm sure there's other people waiting.
Right. Jill, I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Yes.
All right, take care. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Right, let's go to Ben, and then let's go to Sarah. Okay, here comes Ben. Ben, how are you?
Doing well. Mic working?
Yes, you're doing good, Ben.
Mm-hmm. All right, great. Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm just doing some schoolwork tonight. Had a COVID scare and I'm getting caught up.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Okay.
work.
All right. Oh, sorry to hear that, Ben, but happy to hear just a scare.
Yeah, it was just a cold, but I had to move into the isolation dorm on campus. So just had a 4-hour trip of dragging all my crap over. And that's what killed me more than anything.
Well, so if they think that you have COVID at the school, they make you do a bunch of manual labor and moving.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it was just I was a bit too worried to ask for help or to get a roller or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have
symptoms,
you gotta go.
Okay.
Yeah, if you have cold and flu-like symptoms, then just huff and puff as you carry all of your luggage across the entire campus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I sweat out anything bad, so it worked out in the end.
Worked out. Okay, so Ben, what's going on?
Yeah. My question was, this is Survivor 41, drop the 4, keep the 1.
That's right.
And as someone that has been watching along with you as you watch through 40 seasons, how fresh did this premiere feel to you? Did you all feel like it was a new beginning or anything? Or
I did feel like it felt very fresh. I didn't feel like this old tired thing. So I did feel like the newness, especially having the show off for a year. I almost feel like that almost like whatever they came back and did was what really strong in terms of being fresh and new. They probably overdid it with it's the new era. It's very, this isn't even the same show anymore. It's completely new. I thought it was. Iman, how did it feel for you?
Yeah, I think I felt similarly. It did. I mean, also being able to ring in the new season in a crowded bar of Survivor Legends is also really exciting. So that probably is lending a bit of that feeling to the episode. But I do think for both Survivor and for Big Brother, this year has been a genesis of mm-hmm. sorts. So much conversation around the new casting, so much conversation that Jeff is bringing up, and even asking the survivors, hey, do you all want me to stop saying guys? Would you like it, or should it be more inclusive? Just I think that there is a lot of real change just happening behind the scenes. And also I don't know if I'm the biggest fan of the behind the scenes look. I mean, that obviously made the season feel a lot newer and different and more unique than others, but I don't know if I need my illusion of Survivor being crushed. I would want for that to happen if I'm on the show. I don't need to be watching mm-hmm. the production mm-hmm. Floating across the ocean as they're filming the thing. I want to be immersed. I want to see everything from the player's perspective.
That's interesting. Yeah. Ben, did you like it?
I really enjoyed seeing the crew show up. I had it was just really nice, I think, to open up the season showing all of the crew and showing everyone working on the show and getting ready to see the start of the show. I felt like that was a great lead up.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about Jeff Probst kind of being the Greek chorus or the narrator, and he comes in and he's talking and showing the advantage. I think it worked okay and fine for this episode.
Yeah.
And it was fun, it was silly, and it didn't mind it too much. I wonder if that's going to be in every opener thing to a new tradition. Instead of the opening credits, we get a Jeff Probst.
Oh, he'll do the previously on? Yeah. Remember last time on Survivor? We started it off. We got rid of the guys and come on in, guys. And then...
Yeah. It's giving very much reading Rainbow.
Yes.
I mean, that's sort of what he does on at the finale or reunion, right? During the finale, he's you'll talk mm-hmm. directly to the audience. And then it really is oh, the season's over. We're in the end game now. But him and doing it in the beginning did sort of make me feel a little, oh, this is interesting. It's a little strange, but it's all right.
Although, Iman, does Julie Chen Moonves talk to us at home? Tonight, but first, I mean, I kind of feel like it's, we don't think it's too bizarre when she does it.
Yeah, but that isn't that sort of like how it's always
one of the
been?
Least bizarre things she does. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's certainly more things that she said to us over the past, past two seasons that has been way worse or way weirder rather. But I feel like that's always been her shtick though. Like, right. Like, I mean, the premiere of Big Brother was like her in the control room talking about this social experiment. Whereas, you know, Jeff sort of did the same thing, but as time has gone on, he's sort of, you know, fallen back into really just being at Tribal Council. That's when you see him the most, and there it is. So it's a little strange. It's a little weird, but it's whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think the best development is we go full the other way, and it just becomes the circle, so we get Jeff's color commentary.
So he can make jokes.
Just like, completely just, like, we don't see him at all until the end of the season.
I think his jokes would be pretty wild. I don't know. He's up for that.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
All right, Ben, anything else going on?
No, I guess the last thing is the positives of the Jeff thing. I liked how I didn't do anything with the game within a game thing.
Yeah.
But when you see the Beware advantage come out and hit at the camp, I enjoyed that. And I liked how later, if you pause, they actually flash it during one of the flashes and you can read what the advantage actually is. So like,
what is it?
Yeah.
Spoilers for Beware advantage.
If I remember correctly, I can't remember the exact text, but it shows you the like document they give with the like, idols and stuff. And it's basically like the Jamal advantage, and that like, hey, except it explicitly like warns you on the advantage. If you pick this up, you're in trouble. So it's kind of like, or like if you open this, you're in trouble. It could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing. But like if you break the seal, then you're agreeing to whatever's going on with this advantage.
Okay, so it gives it a little bit more agency than Jamal, who just like, you know, pulled a string and an anvil fell on his head.
Yeah. Why call it an advantage then? They need to come up with a different word. Like, an advantage should not be something that could potentially ruin.
Yeah.
That's not an advantage. That's just an advantage. It's not giving you anything.
It's like a double-edged sword or like some sort of like a... Like a monkey's paw. Box. Yeah.
Right.
Like you make a wish, but it's not going to come out the way that you want. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Ben, what's behind you? Is that a plaid shirt? Is that a couch?
That is a blanket.
Oh, very nice.
That's his bed.
Very nice. I'm like, I could make a shirt out of that. Yeah.
Yeah. it serves me well. When it gets cold here, it's basically just becomes it. Like, can't
wait, do they not have the heat on in the quarantine dorm?
I'm not in the quarantine dorm anymore.
Oh, you moved back.
Yeah, I moved back, and when I moved back, I got tired of dragging everything, so I managed to get help. But I'm in a suite, and I'm still in a single, but the suite still has the thermostat to both people, and I don't know where my roommate is or what he's doing. So,
oh my gosh,
some nights. You know,
maybe he got the Beware advantage.
You're cold randomly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You pulled the Beware advantage.
Yeah, exactly. The thermostat's my Beware advantage.
Yeah. All right, Ben. Well, thank you so much for the call. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this. I'm a little bit behind on everything, but can't wait to catch up as I start writing my papers and stuff.
Okay.
First season watching live since, I've been watching live since 39, so picked a rough one. Mm-hmm. But
you made it through. You're still here.
Made it through.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got me through there.
So all right, Ben. So all right, take care. Bye. Yeah, Amon, we put out a lot of podcasts. There was a thread in the Patreon Facebook group today asking about, you know, do I have to listen to every single show? No, it's not required. You could just try one out. If you're not feeling it, move on to the next one. RHAP is like the bus. You miss one podcast, another one's coming right behind it.
Exactly.
No pressure. Yeah,
look, I'm on the show, and sometimes I don't even be.
Yeah,
I'm like in another space in my head when I'm recording sometimes, so I'm not even present for the ones I am present for. So you do not have to watch everything. But it's wonderful, great side content, so I suggest that you do.
Make sure you subscribe. Look, we appreciate it if you download everything. Okay, that's the one. That's the one thing that we ask. robiswebsite.com/subscribe. Okay, let's go to Sarah. Sarah, how are you?
Hi.
What's going on, Sarah? Me? Yes.
What's up? We're back.
We're We're back, baby. Yes.
It was so freaking exciting to like watch Survivor in the real time with commercials and everything.
I know. I just was thinking like this must be such a trip for somebody who was watching the show on Netflix. Like, oh my God, I didn't know.
I had one of my friends who got into it over like quarantine and like binged, I think probably 20 seasons at this point. And I keep like giving her recommendations and she's actually just finished 32 in between this past like episode airing and the new one, like the next episode. And I was like, so what was it like watching it in the real time at normal speed without commercials and all that? And she's like, yeah, you know, it's a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. And I was like, this was long, so fast.
Yeah.
I felt like the episode was paced so well. Like I was really enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I, you know, didn't mind like the breaks to like get up and start to get ready for like the know-it-alls to get ready. Mm-hmm. So I didn't mind it.
What was it like for you watching it in the East Coast time proper and then podcasting it at that time?
I mean, there was so much adrenaline. And I feel like that Big Brother this summer was like good practice because basically like three nights a week, I'm, you know, watching a show at 8 o'clock and then coming on. And, you know, we've had a few 2 hour Big Brothers Big Brother at 9 where we're podcasting at 10 o'clock. So Big Brother was good practice to get into the Survivor stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. The biggest thing that made it easier was all these like 5 and 6 hour podcasts that I did. I feel like that any podcast I do is like 2 hours is like, oh my God, that was a breeze.
Yeah. I don't know how you got away with that for the whole year. Like, what did you have to bargain with Nicole that you could lock yourself in a closet for 6 hours?
I didn't really have to bargain anything. It's just like, I have to do this. I started it. I have to finish it for the countdown. We have no survivor.
Okay, let Nicole know that every time I listen to a 6 hour podcast while chasing my toddler around, thankful that I had all this material while chasing her around. I was like, poor Nicole, Rob's locked in a closet and the boys are off.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably doing fine because they have screen time.
Yeah, I mean, they're at the point that I'm doing those podcasts, they're most of the time they're in bed and Nicole's not looking for
anything.
She's like, you know, like riding an exercise bike or something, watching shows on an iPad. So she's fine. She's fine.
Yeah, living the dream. Okay, I'd love to see it.
Yeah. So, Sarah, what did you want to talk about?
I wanted to know if you guys thought or what you guys, come on, guys. Are we going to see a tribe swap this season with these small tribes?
Yeah. So
what's the plan until merge? What do you think?
Aman, Jeff has said it's going to be small tribes this season. Do you think that we will swap them up?
I think so. I don't see any reason why not. I don't think that the size of the tribes really will matter too much. I think if anything, I think it makes it even a little bit more dynamic, them having to swap when there's only six of them, because then the advantages in terms of like numbers really might not matter as much because you didn't really have many numbers to begin with. And, you know, in a season where they're like, we want everybody to be gaming hard, that, you know, that's a reason to game hard. So, I think we're probably going to get a swap soon. I would not be surprised.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say I don't think we're going to have a tribe swap. What I hope to see is that the way that they did the advantages in this episode, where we had one player from each tribe meet and, you know, have the chance to sort of like get to know each other. I hope we have more stuff like that. And then where everybody gets a chance to sort of have at least a friend or two on the other tribe. And I think that it's just is going to get so confusing as to who is on what tribe, especially if they're going to keep the tribes small. I think that, I mean, maybe we'll get to the point where maybe we'll get to 12 people. I mean, we're down to 16. So if we got rid of four more people and then had two new tribes of six before we got to the merge, I could see that more than a tribe swap.
So you think that like the going to the summit and then having to make a decision with two people from the other team is sort of like taking place of the swap?
I think I don't know for sure, but I kind of feel like that we're going to see something maybe in each episode where a few different people like have to come together to like make some sort of a decision.
Gotcha.
I wonder if they do swap and stay in small tribes, Like they go, the first six are out. Would they keep with this, the bottom two teams in immunity now go?
Mm-hmm.
And then we only have like what, three episodes, and then we're down to 12. Because yes. Did you see that they only have 11 puzzles? I mean, I don't know.
No, you know what? Somebody, I was the person that I said that first, but then somebody said, no, if you scroll over that there's more than, there's more than 11. So I'm not exactly sure. But I don't know how many times they'll do two tribal councils in one episode. Like,
because they're not doing double, like 2 hour episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like that I could see them doing maybe like two more regular votes and maybe like one more episode where they have a double vote, and then 3 weeks from now they'd be down to 12, and then they could go to two tribes of six, but we'll see. And then you have a couple of votes in the two tribes of six and maybe like have a smaller merge also.
Do you think that if they don't swap, or if they swap late before the merge, will that affect the dynamics of people getting really entrenched like we saw in previous like lower swaps?
Who knows? Like I think it'll be interesting to see how it goes and how many like different relationships that we have between the players that might have been to other sort of like swap or advantage islands.
Yeah, I think you probably would see something like that where they do get entrenched if they're there for a very long time. I mean, unless you're like Evie and the rest of them and they're just trying to get everybody else on their team out. So we'll see.
Yeah. And you might be so sick of the people that you're with at that point where you might be excited to, you know, have the chance to work with anybody else.
I would feel that way. Every time I watch Survivor, I'm reminded of like how I cannot do Survivor. Mm-hmm. So I have so many of my friends and so many people like patrons, it's like their dream. I feel like it would just ruin it. And like, I feel so bad for Sarah. The first Survivor Sarah to spell her name like mine. Mm-hmm. And she didn't even get first boot, which could, if they ever do a first boot season, she could come back for.
You think that would be more prestigious to be first boot than second boot?
Yeah. And also I used to tell myself like, oh, if you're first boot, at least you get to talk to Josh Wiggler, but she doesn't even get to do that this season. So it's just like, there's no winning there.
I know.
Yeah, it was rough watching her go home. I liked her too.
Yep.
Felt so bad.
She was a lot of people's winner pick.
Yeah, she wasn't mine, but she was close. She was up there. And I just love that Puya got double grenaded.
That's hilarious.
I still can't get over that.
Man. I think about that like every 2 hours. I'm just like,
I mean, he's probably going to win. Well, you know what? We don't know. Rob could still take the win.
The rug could really still get pulled out from under him. he can't win the Survivor draft even if Deshaun
wins. Sure, but like I'm just saying, like if like the ultimate joke would be like for Puya to get double grenaded and then Deshaun goes on and wins and he can't win, but we saw zero like basically purple Deshaun in the premiere.
Yeah, he was involved with doing the water stuff. Like I feel like he was there, but yeah, he was probably like in the bottom like three or four people in terms of like screen time.
Yeah,
so. We'll see. We'll see if, that tribe, like, I feel like that they probably had, like, the bottom three or four people that didn't get any airtime in the episode because they ultimately didn't go to tribal council.
Yeah. I picked Ricard. I felt good picking Ricard. I picked him before you announced that he was your winner pick with Nicole. And I was like, yes, I always feel good when I, like, get the same one.
How are you feeling now, Sarah?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I'm feeling good still. Because I think he will be interesting to watch, which is when I pick a winner pick, I just want to pick someone who I think that I can root for the whole season or as long as they stay on. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, I don't need like the joy of them winning in the end, right? Because I don't like get anything from it. I just like the rooting interest aspect.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be interesting to watch for as long as we get him. And he's pretty funny on Twitter and clapping back on viewers. And I think it's good.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that gives me pause about how well he's going to do. I think he's talking a little too much on Twitter.
Right.
Okay. I just feel like.
Well, I will say, like, Amon, nobody ever talked more than Tony did in Survivor Kagiyan. He broke the mold.
Okay. All right. That could be true. I mean, I don't think I was like on Twitter much during that time. So I wouldn't know, but. It's just giving.
Do you think he expected like first production to kind of throw him to the wolves like that?
With
Ricard?
With the guys.
Come on in, guys.
You know, I don't know. I think that there's a lot with that where, you know, that assuming everything we saw on the television show was like above board and it was like his idea that he wanted to, you know, say something about that. Like, I have to think that that's how it went, how he imagined it was going to go on the television show. I'm sure he did not imagine the backlash about this incident. And
yeah, who could predict this casual viewer backlash?
Mm-hmm.
Even my mom was kind of like, before the episode, she was like, "I'm not here for woke Survivor." I was like, "Mom, this is the life that we're living now. Like, this is Survivor. This is the story that they're going to tell, and you're going to get over it, and you're going to keep watching because that's what you do, like, with Survivor." And then we watched the episode, and I was like, "What did you think?" She's like, "I loved it. I'm so happy Survivor is back." So, like, ultimately, she didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I will say, as far as like the wokeness is concerned, I will say it can become like any other thing that people like to pontificate about. It can become very preachy very quickly. Yeah. And I think it's always better to show and not tell. I feel like Jeff easily could have just dropped the guys and no one would have said anything. Well, maybe somebody would have said anything, but he didn't need to make it a whole, "What do you guys think?" Because every cast is going to have a different answer for you. So
That's what I think too. I think it felt performative, obviously, because it's like, mm-hmm. Jeff, we know you've already made a decision. Like, this is just not how production works. And it just like, mm-hmm. felt like a CEO didn't want to be the bad guy here. And it's like, he didn't want people on the street coming up to him, but like, they're going to come up to him anyway. And I just wish he would have used that Blue's Clues moment at the beginning. Like, "We're changing everything. I'm dropping the guys. We're more inclusive Survivor."
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
That's it. That's all he needed to say.
You know,
and then
it's hard because I feel like that the show wanted to do, you know, something that they felt like was going to be appreciated. And they ultimately, offended people who say, "Okay, well, what was wrong with saying guys? Why couldn't we say that?" And then also at the same time, people who are, you know, definitely like don't mind the change, don't like the way that they did it. So ultimately, like, they sort of like, alienated like both sides of their fan base.
I kind of wish we would have gotten like on Bachelor. You always get like the Instagram apologies after. I wish we would have gotten like a Jeff Probst like notes apology or Instagram live.
Don't
at
him.
They're
going to do it. You can send a message, but he's not going to read it.
I did. I tweeted exactly that.
Yeah.
I just think at the end of the day, where everybody's just trying to be as respectful as possible. Yeah. And, you know, that's going to come with a few changes here and there. And some of the changes will feel necessary. Some of them will feel a little empty and hollow. But I think it's all, we're all stumbling forward.
Yeah. And I think people always seem to like get very upset. Like they feel like they're losing their seat at the table. It's like, we are expanding the table. We're taking the leaf out. We're putting a new leaf in to let more people on into the table. Like, you are not losing your seat. We are expanding the table.
We're going to the merge, baby. It's all happening.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully we'll find something new to talk about this week.
Yeah. Undoubtedly. With Survivor, I feel like it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Even bad Survivor is better than anything.
This is what I want to see. With the patrons, I don't need to worry about this, but if you see people out there that they said they were quitting watching the show last week and you see them tweeting about didn't you quit the show? Didn't you stop watching last week?
This you?
Over, come on in, guys.
Specifically, Russell and Troyzan, let's hold them accountable next week.
Yeah, that's it. You know, that's it. Once you're out, you're out.
I didn't even know that they were even on Twitter. That was the first time I was introduced to them. Was like, "Oh, okay.
Well, don't go look. Don't go look. It's bad."
If you left, you left. That's it. Okay.
If the number of people that said that they were going to quit, like, I think I said I was going to quit Big Brother. No, if the number of people who said they were quitting Big Brother during the season had left, I mean, they'd have no one watching live feeds anymore. And all the people who said they're quitting, they're still watching those live. They're addicted to the live feeds.
They're still watching. It remains consistently the highest rated show in the summer. Like, it's...
Yep.
It, mm-hmm. All right.
And it's like, like 60 days too long and people watch it. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not 60 days too long. It's the perfect time.
Amon says it should be a year long. Amon says it's too short.
My dream is to wake up one day and like be reading Twitter, and like Amon has been cast on Big Brother, and it's like it's like a year Big Brother experiment. Yeah. That'd be great.
It'd be a year long. It's going to take place in a giant Big Brother apartment complex. It's going to be like 70 contestants. It's going to be a great time.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, that doesn't sound terrible. If you do 70 contestants for a year, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
A few triples in there, a few doubles in there. Have a good time.
Be exciting Thursdays. All right. Sarah, anything else?
That's all for me. I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to hear what the patrons thought of the episode. I'm glad we're continuing from the Big Brother coverage to the Survivor coverage. And it feels like it's been a really nice way to get my podcast feedback back to more normal. Feels like life is moving on. Nature is healing.
Survivor's healing. Back. Thank you, Sarah. All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hi.
Sarah had such nice sunlight coming through.
Okay. I'm like jealous.
All right. Let's say hello to Alisa is here. Alisa, how are you?
Hey, Rob. Hey, Amon. Nice meeting you.
Likewise.
Having a good Monday. Also, Amon, I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge, huge fan of the Casualty with Amon and B. So really cool talking to you.
Thank you so much. I'll let Bryce know.
Yes, check that out on the Purple Pants podcast every so often.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was supposed to be there this past week, but I forgot to tell him I was going to be at a music festival. So, it'll be a week. It'll be another week for the next one, but we'll be back.
That's okay. There's always next week. There's a lot to talk about, especially like the R. Kelly thing. There's just a lot of stuff that like we talked about. So yeah.
Uh-huh. we'll bring it to you.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay. All right. Alisa, what's going on?
So I know that Sarah and Ben were talking a little bit about the whole like advantage that Jeff hid in the tree, and how like if you read the text, it's actually like
when you said Sarah and Ben were talking, I'm like, what did they do a podcast? Like did they? So not Sarah Lucina and Ben Dreeburn.
Not Sarah Lucina and Ben Dreeburn.
Yes, okay. Earlier on this podcast, Sarah and Ben called in. Yes.
Yes. Earlier on this podcast, so they were talking about how it looked more. And like,
at least I got to be honest. I was like, oh my god, what did they say?
I know, but rest be assured, you're fine, Rob.
Yeah, I guess beware. That's a beware advantage. Yeah.
So they were saying that it's more like the Jamal advantage, but I just thought of it right now. What if it's more of the Tony advantage, where it's like, Tony, you're screwed unless you do all of these five things, like the one that was like in Winners
the extortion advantage,
advantage, where it's more like you are screwed if you don't do these, but if you do these, you're going to have amazing fortune.
I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't just bring that back. I mean, we don't have fire tokens, so I don't know what you could collect from people.
Yeah, exactly.
Amon, any chance you think the beware advantage is an extortion advantage?
Maybe. I mean, that could certainly like.
Could you get other people to give up their vote?
I was getting ready to say that could tie in well to like the whole shot in the dark thing as well. So potentially, yeah. I mean, I would try. I most certainly would try to do that. So yeah, I think that I don't think that's a bad shot in the dark.
On one of the previous Survivor Q&As, we were talking about how like Survivor, you know, that they have been incorporating more and more dilemmas into the game where and we see this probably more in like Big Brother Canada and like Big Brother UK of like between Lauren needs to convince everybody to go like to choose breakfast over playing, or Sarah needs to sneak into the other tribe's camp, or like these little like side missions that they have to go on. I wonder, maybe could it be something like that where you have to complete this side mission, and if you do it, you get the advantage, and if not, you lose your vote for however long.
Yeah, I think that would be a lot better than the Jamal advantage, which really pissed me off.
Was the worst.
It was the absolute worst. Like, what kind of lessons are Rob and Sandra, not Rob and Sandra, but CBS even teaching? Like,
hey, you ever see a pencil before?
Yeah. No. I saw Jamal this past week too, and I like wanted to like offer my condolences for that horrible thing. But I was like, you know what? There are at least, I don't know, like hundreds of other drunken fans in this. Like, I don't need to be one of 50 people bringing it up to him tonight. So.
Yes, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Is Jamal going to be, or Rob, are you, is Jamal one of the like potential people as a guest?
Yes. So that I've been texting with, like, putting the puzzle together for the season is very, very difficult. Because like, first off, like, I never want to bother anybody, but I want, you know, I want to try to book people, but I don't want to be pushy about like, hey, could you do this specific date? So, yeah, Jamal wants to come on. He wants to come on, later on in the season. So it's really okay. just, an exercise in figuring out like, what week we're going to do. And, you know, it's like a little bit like in the beginning of the season, like I feel like, people are shy to, you know, like break the seal and, come on. But we have, I've been doing very well with booking the guests in the last couple of days. So, we have a lot of great guests. It's just a matter of like lining them up in the puzzle.
Yeah. I'm
Rob there. Has a website.com/casting.
Yes. So it's a little tricky. Adam Klein is going to be on with me on Thursday, and so that's going to be really fun. So looking forward to catching up with him. And then, you know, we have a lot of really fun guests coming up for later on down the road.
That's very exciting. I'm looking forward to it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's really fun to get to catch up with like the different players where, you know, we didn't have new Survivor to do. And so that's going to be fun. I mean, the other challenge is that we haven't gotten new Survivors in a long time. Not since season 39 have we gotten new, you know, like fresh blood who are like dying to podcast. Like there's so many Survivor podcasts and, you know, so many, like every Survivor is just like constantly asked to do podcasts nonstop. So that it'll be nice also next season to have, you know, 18 new people who, you know, may be excited to be, you know, doing more podcasts.
Yes. I'm very open to like people we haven't ever seen on RHAP coming and giving their feedback and recapping. So I'm very much looking forward to the season.
And there's some talking with T-Bird people that were like, ooh, like this would be great. So like, I'm trying to double back to find some of the talking with T-Bird people that we hadn't talked to before who want to come on. So we're trying to work it all out.
Yeah, that's a good point, Robert. Like, it really has sort of, it's nice that we have like so much new, like fresh faces within the community, because it sort of has been sort of redundant over the past few years. And especially given the fact that we just had Winners at War, so that's an all-star season, and we had All-Stars 2 for Big Brother. So it's just been like a, you know, just a hodgepodge of the familiar faces, which we still love everybody, of course, but it'll definitely will be nice to have.
Iman, you're reminding me of like how much fun it's going to be when BB23 is on Twitter soon. And that's my favorite couple of weeks of the year when the Big Brother cast gets out on Twitter. And that's like super mess. We might need to bring the slot back for a couple of weeks.
Just for the coverage of it all. I mean, look, Christian is out here trying to get them all at Airbnb to have a reunion and 1 week after party. That at the other house. So, I mean, good luck with that. We'll see.
No, I think I might have to green light that right now. I know tomorrow night is going to be the slop finale with Jenny Autumn, but we might have to do like a mid October slop check-in with the BB23 cast.
Just scroll through to Twitter, see what you got, find all the gems. I'm sure we'll be getting a lot.
Maybe
it's going to be.
Well, I'll talk to on the slop tomorrow night if people are interested in that. Yes. Okay. Elisa, anything else going on?
Yes. Just a few more questions. Do you think there's going to be one more double boot in the pre-merge? And also, like, moving forward, if we continue with 26 days, is a double boot as the very first and second vote kind of the president moving forward?
Iman, what do you think?
So, like, what? There's, like, what, 13 episodes in a season? Right. Mm-hmm. And we've already gotten rid of two people.
So 16 now.
Does this still count as one episode, or is it like technically two?
This is episode one. This counts as episode one because we didn't even have two tribal councils. Like Winners at War, I think it was fair to say, was that episode one and episode two in the same night? This was clearly like one episode, 1 3-day cycle where two people got voted.
Yeah. Okay. Survivor, the movie. Mm-hmm. I think by the fact that it is 26 days and like another double boot might actually be a thing. And then we just get like a longer end game. Maybe we get a tribal council where no one goes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I could definitely see something like that happening.
Yeah, I could see it happening one more time. I'm trying to think back to Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers, because that was the last time we had an 18-person season without the Edge of Extinction. And I think we had 2-hour episodes, but I'm not sure. I don't think we had any
it was like
episodes.
One person each tribal in a 2-hour episode, but not like.
Yeah, it was that we saw JP and Joe Mena both got voted out in one episode, but it was a 2-hour episode. So I think that we'll run out of people. So maybe we won't.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think especially if this is for episode one, then that would make sense that.
I think it might also have to do with what the finale is going to be, where I don't think they're planning on having a reunion show. And so I think it might just be a 2-hour finale. So I'm not sure if they start the finale with 5 people or 6 people.
Yeah, but, I think.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And if they end up doing reading the votes there, like, do they do some sort of a reunion, like with the jury, like in Fiji?
Ooh, a Fiji reunion would be nice.
That's kind of cool. I like that.
Like, I mean, it would be the season. The game just ended 5 minutes ago, but it's like, what do you think? Are you ever going to talk to this person again? might be interesting. Yeah. Okay. So,
I mean, are they going to bring? Are we for sure going to know if they're even going to bring everybody back for a reunion? Like, or is it going to be like a Zoom thing?
I'm not sure. I think at this point, I don't think there's any plans for a reunion show for Survivor 41.
Yeah. At least I don't think any details of it have been revealed yet by Jeff.
Yeah. Maybe for Survivor 42, hopefully by the spring, you know, things are, knock on wood, like calm. But I don't think that for December, I don't think that there's too much of a chance that it's going to happen.
Right.
Maybe like a Paramount Plus, like they could do like a check-in with everybody would be great, but. We'll see. Little Zoom sesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they do it 90-day style where it's a reunion with no crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
it's just the cast. Just
bring everybody out there, put it on Paramount Plus. People would subscribe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've been saying this for Big Brother. So we know. Yeah. We know this.
And Elisa on the 90-day Fiancé reunion shows, they pull the camera back and they show you the production.
I know they do. They show you.
I like it there.
All the production. They show you the people smoking outside. They show you the Maury style running through the backstage. They show you everything. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Anything else going on, Elisa?
Yes. And then one last question. What character? And I say they're real people, but I say character because it's what we see on TV.
Sure.
What character are you more interested in learning about that wasn't prominently featured in episode one? I think for me, it's Erica and Liana.
Yeah. Erica for sure was one of the under-edited people. And Liana, we got to see some of Liana, but not a ton. Amon, did you have a person?
I'm trying to think of anybody that wasn't featured, because I was going to say Xander, but he kind of got some time. Yeah, I guess Liana.
It's like one of those things where they threw Liana enough that was like, oh, she's smart, but like it wasn't overpowering as Evie, but it was a decent amount of confessional content to be like, oh, okay, she had like,
yeah,
something
she
might
got
happen.
Like that this is Evie's wing woman
so I think I'll go with Liana.
Yeah.
But I know this is the answer to the question, but I am very interested in Xander only because, I mean, I didn't really watch a lot of preseason content because I kind of just wanted to go into this as fresh as possible. I wanted to like feel like I was watching Survivor for the first time again. So I sort of avoided all of that. And just based off of looks alone, he's not anything that I thought he was going to be. I'm kind of getting a little bit more like Tyler Crispin upside to him. And so I'm really interested to see what happens with him.
Wow, man, thanks so much. That sounds so awesome. I'm rusty. But yeah, I could see that. You know, like that, even though Travis says like, hey, the surfer guy is you know, the white guy with abs, they get voted out first, like, cuz sometimes there's upside, especially on Survivor. Yeah.
When he was the one narrating what the prisoner's dilemma was, I was like, "Oh, Xander is important." Like definitely not the character that I was expecting, but I was very pleasantly surprised. I liked quite a bit of the Yellow Tribe on the premiere. So I'm just looking forward to everyone, and also learning about the Blue Tribe, just because they didn't lose, so we didn't know much about
them. And I feel like Deshaun is somebody that I'd also want to know some more about, because he was in his preseason interviews, he said he wanted to be known as Devious D-Rad was his nickname. So I'd like to see a little bit more of that devious side that he wanted to come out with. So we'll see. Wednesday night.
Yes.
Yep.
All right.
Wednesday night.
Elisa, thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you, Amon. Thank you, Rob. I just also wanted to say I'm going to be listening to the podcasts kind of like silently, but not participating as much. I'm about to go on like a business trip. So I'll be gone for like a couple weeks. So I won't be able to join the Q&A for the next couple weeks. But I just wanted to say, like, just in general to both of you and like all the RHAP podcasters, that it, like, this week has been so much joy just listening to like the know-it-alls, listening to the feedback show, and even the Q&A's leading up to this. And this is my first season as a patron, and just listening to the podcast and talking to all of the patrons on Discord has just been such an awesome time. And I'm very much looking forward to this, to just like the season and like being a patron.
Oh, Elisa, that means so much to me. Thank you so much for that. And you always have such great commentary. So it's always such a pleasure to hear from you. And safe travels, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Yes. Bye, Amon. Bye, Rob.
Okay.
Bye. Take care.
Bye, Elisa. Okay.
Oh, I just realized that we had matching A's. I mean, well, hers was black. Oh. But okay. She had one in her backdrop.
All right. Let me go to Jake, who we talked to Jake on patron orientation the other night. And Jake, did you make it to Oregon's football game on Saturday night?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
It actually started a little late. It started at like 10:45, but I made it.
Ooh,
I watched the whole game, and I kind of regret it, but. And they won. So
they won. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good. All right. So, Jake, what's going on? Now, you said you promised me you had a question that you were going to save for Monday night.
I did. Well, actually, first of all, I want to say hi to Amon. It's nice to meet you, Amon.
And hello.
I kind of wanted to ask you, what music festival did you recently go to?
Oh, I went to Firefly Music Festival here in I'm in Philly, but it's in Delaware.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. No, I've never been to that one, because I know that I'm in Atlanta, and so Music Midtown was just the other week. And are we in the same place? But you're in Philly.
Well, did we say on this podcast, or was that pre-show when we talked about who you ran into?
Me or
no, Amon.
Oh.
Oh wait, did you, was that pre-show? I forget.
I don't remember.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it was pre-show.
Yes.
Yeah, I ran into Melissa there. Yeah,
Melissa Denny in person, unexpected.
Yes. In person for the first time in like a decade, half a decade. I met her in person randomly. It was like a really surreal experience. I couldn't believe it. She wouldn't have found me had I not been trying to guide my friends in, and I was just standing in one spot, and she saw me. Mm-hmm. Actually, also another kind of embarrassing story, but funny nonetheless. I was playing a game of truth or dare at the campsite with a few of my friends, and they dared me to go on top of this truck that a bunch of other people, like the owners of the truck, were like on top of it singing or whatever. And
come on,
so
you gotta knock it off with these dares. Come on.
I know. I'm addicted to dares. So they asked me to go over there, and like I'm like, and so I was like, okay, guys, like, hey, would you mind if I got on top of the truck? My friends asked me to do it as a dare, and they're like, yeah, you can come up here as long as you sing something. And so I get up there, and they're like, what do you want to sing? And I'm like, I don't know, put on Firework by Katy Perry. And so I get up there and I start singing Firework, and I eventually get to the second chorus. I'm like, okay, I'm done. And I leave, and then like the minute I get back to the campsite, I pick up my phone and I have a DM from somebody who's like a random person. I don't know who this person is, and they're like, was that you that I just saw singing Katy Perry on top of a red truck, or am I going crazy? And I'm like, oh, I swear to God, please don't say anything. Lower your voice. They're like, no, it's fine. I won't say anything. But I was like, I know that's
you need a disguise. You need a disguise.
I know quite a few people recognize. I don't know if I have to ask Melissa, but quite a few people were RHAP fans at the festival. So yeah, it was really cool.
That's awesome. Love to hear it. Yeah, I really, that's one of the things I really miss about COVID, obviously, is just going to live music and going to my first concert tomorrow night. I'm very excited. I'm going to see
Who are you seeing?
Paula.
Oh yeah, he was at Firefly.
Oh, yep. I bet it was great.
He was fantastic. Loved it.
Yeah, okay. Super stoked. I actually have two questions now, and well, one of them is more of a statement. I just kind of want to see what you guys think. I saw that like a ton of people were like really high on Shan after the first episode, and I kind of didn't feel the same. Like, I loved the confessional with the do 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 do. Like, that was that was classic. That was gold.
Yeah, she's gonna be at the music festival.
Was that custom music that they made for her, or is that something that has been played in the past?
No, that was an original. I mean, that was her her song, and I think that the music department went to work.
Okay, all right.
Rob, I think you and Chappelle talked about it, right? And you said that maybe she did something else first, and they're like, all right, why don't you revise that and redo it?
Well, I wonder if she had like some other like devious music that was like some like familiar song. Like, no. Can you give that to us again and give us like the like just make something up? I don't know.
I love this. It's like CBS Production Studios is like producing this.
Yeah, and it's like, girl, don't worry, we'll do a good job with it.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
A bop.
Classic. They remixed it. Yeah.
It was just fantastic editing when they did that part. But anyway.
But you weren't super impressed, Jake.
Yeah, I just thought that like her conversations that she was having with people just seemed like really kind of, I mean, maybe it's a good strategy because she's
I think you're onto something here. So I feel like that what she did was good. Her confessional was gold, but I feel like that what we were actually seeing her do was not super exciting. It's like they really like shined up like what was happening, but then at Tribal Council, I feel like that she's the one who ultimately was holding all the cards. So I feel like she got like a very positive edit. But what we saw in like the example of her being devious or evil was not particularly devious or evil.
Yeah, sure. That's true. And maybe that will like come to light in the coming episodes where she's really going to start, I don't know, pitting people against each other.
She didn't seem underhanded in any way in what she was doing. Like she's just like, she was like telling people like, okay, I'm with you. But she wasn't like, you know, selling them like a bill of goods or anything.
Yeah. And
yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think she's just she's a good narrator, and she was doing pretty much what a lot of other people do. If you're like at the very basic level, good at any kind of social strategy game and just like saying what everyone else wants to hear. So I feel similarly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the swerve for me was at Tribal Council, where it like I thought the whole episode that Ricard was the person calling all the shots there, and it seemed like at the end of the day it was Shan who was the person who was deciding what was going on. She was the person who brought JD in, listened to me, and maybe she's the person controlling what Jeannie and Brad are doing also.
I was kind of confused by the ending because it seemed to me that she was upset about the fact that Sarah went, so did she get what she wanted? Or like, I was like, what?
I mean, she whispers in JD's ear. JD says to her, tell me a name. Tell me, is it going to be Sarah or Brad? We see her whisper. We don't see what she said, but Sarah went home. So I would have to think that Sarah was the name she said.
Okay.
See, and maybe this gets to like why I feel a little weird about her is just because I think she was trying to do what everyone wanted to do in that situation. And then she just picked JD and, or not as well. Yeah, I guess she did pick JD because it was between him and Sarah. So I wonder like if there's going to be any fallout when they get back to camp and Ricard's like, what was that all about? Like, I risked my neck out there to like change the vote to Brad and then you like switched it back.
But
and...
Brad did vote for Sarah. So I'm sorry. Ricard did vote for Sarah. So ultimately by the end of that tribal council, like Ricard is on the same page with Shan. So it was a very confusing first vote and maybe we'll get some sort of, maybe Jeff will explain it all to us at the start of the next episode.
Yeah.
You see what happened.
Just the whiteboard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jake, what was question number two?
A debate I was having with a friend of mine a couple of days ago was she was like telling me that she thinks Danny is like a solid like final three winner bet. And I'm convinced that he is, as soon as they merge, he's out because people are just going to see the physical prop. Like if he can go on a string of immunity idol wins and like maybe, but it seemed like he came out a little aggressive, like with the idol hunting with Deshaun. And then, I mean, it seemed like that got squashed. And now Nasir is kind of painted as the sketchy guy. But I just think like he's like clearly like the most physically fit guy on the island. And I think people are just going to see that and target him.
Yeah, Mon, how do you think Danny is doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Nasir thing is a little concerning, but I do think that he seems like he's a very genial person. Mm-hmm. And I think that his personality will definitely take him far. I think as long as he can be an asset to his tribe, that he should be okay because no one really feels any type of way. The fact that Nasir couldn't even trust these people to hold water. He could trust them to hold the water, but he couldn't trust the people that weren't holding the water to hold the water about it. Them not holding the water. I feel like, yeah, the fact that they instantly turned the Nasir bodes well for Danny. So I don't think that he will be an instant out. I think that as long as he continues to work on the charm, I think he should be okay.
Yeah, he seems like a super charming guy, and I think he's like a straight shooter, but I don't know necessarily like how much like game savvy he has. And I feel like especially like when you're like a bigger guy like that, I think that you have to be like thinking along the lines of like, you know, how do you insulate yourself with shields like Jeremy did and like Tony did? And I don't know if necessarily like he's playing on like that level right
what
now.
What position did he play in football?
Was it a strategy position? No. I'm sure there's all like some degree of strategy, but I feel like that he was in the secondary and that he was I think he was a fine football player, but I don't know. I just feel like that he's like a, just sort of like I'm trying to think of like a player that I would compare him to, but I feel like a lot of the like the former athletes are just sort of like not
like
playing
a,
super
like
scheme.
It's like a Cromartie type. He was good, but he didn't end up playing that long.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't he wasn't like top of the league, but I mean the average NFL career is already like three seasons, and I think he went seven, so he's above average in that sense. But then also like when they did the summit thing, you know, he lied about being a professional football player. And I wonder if we're going to get like a Gary Higginbotham situation where someone's like,
I don't know if anybody's going to recognize him unless there's like a huge Dallas Cowboys fan.
Yeah. I always feel like lying. I'm saying this so anecdotally right now, but I always feel about lying about your profession is not a good way to go.
I feel like the athletes always like tell the same lie where it's like, oh no, I'm not a football player. Like I coach football.
Yeah.
Like it's
cool. So you teach people how to play football.
mm-hmm. So
I know, but I agree with you, Jake. I think that people creating all of these lies, especially nowadays, maybe back in the day at the beginning of shows like Survivor and Big Brother, that could help you. But I think nowadays, like, don't nobody give a damn what you do. Like, that doesn't translate into the game of Big Brother. So like, I think Evie, she's like what, like a postgraduate at Harvard or whatever. She doesn't want anybody to know that. It's like, okay, girl, like, what they got to do with this?
Yeah. I mean, look at Xavier this summer, where it's like, it was more like drama, like trying to figure out what Xavier does for a living than if he would have just come in and say, I'm a lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly. And the lie wasn't even that good. Like, you are not a bartender, sir. Like, ain't nobody believing it. Nobody's believing it.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you model.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Jake, anything else going on?
Nah, that's it. Okay. Just wanted to bring those up.
All right, Jake, talk to you soon, okay?
Yeah, nice to talk to both of you. Have a good night.
All right, bye.
Bye.
All right, I've got one more caller here. Kenzie, are you ready to go? Let's see if here comes Kenzie.
Camera doesn't, though. There we go.
Hi, Kenzie.
Hey.
What's happening?
All right, as far as...
You have a notebook. You have a notebook.
Yeah, because I can... If anybody, you know how people, when they play the minis and then afterwards they'll show these pages and pages of detailed notes. If you looked at mine, I've only played in two, but if you look at my notes anytime, it's basically a scrambled mess of scribbles that are all over the place, but I'm just, and none of them are all even words, but it's writing something down makes me more able to remember it. But in any case, without notes, I wouldn't remember anything. As far as Danny goes, my partner, he's like a huge football fan, especially with sports fan, and he's like into the fantasy football. He knows all the players of like every team and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And he said that he had heard that there was another football player on Survivor. And I said, Danny, that he was on the Cowboys. I couldn't remember his last name. I described him, a black man, dreadlocks. I said he's not young, but he's not like super old either. Probably recently retired, just based on his looking at him. And the LSU part, I remembered he couldn't figure out who he was.
Yeah, okay. I think he got him. I was like, oh my god!
He looked it up, and even after looking it up, he like said, no, I don't know who that is.
I mean, there's so many players in the NFL. Like, I I'm a big Jets fan, and I think like I could recognize like like they wear helmets, like you don't really get to see too many, like a players have to be like really famous until you know what they look like.
I couldn't tell you anybody on any kind of team
players I usually know are the Patriots one, so but he's like 5 years solid career. That's more than like most people. He had a nice solid career, but he wasn't like a super. So I don't think anybody, and his thing was believable. He played LSU is like, it's top tier, like football school. It's not like even a walk on. He's got to be like pretty good. So that kind of gives him the whole football look, and it's like, okay, maybe he tried to get into the NFL and he couldn't. And then he went to be that's not too far of a lie. It's not like a lawyer who doesn't know about drinks and goes to bed at 10 PM saying that he's a bartender. it's a little easier to keep up. I finished your podcast with Chappelle.
The feedback show, yeah.
Yeah, the feedback show, whatever. The little callback to the year 2000.
Yes.
I literally made this joke to my boyfriend like a week, maybe 2 weeks ago. He had no clue what I was talking about. So I felt so stupid when I sat there. I was like, I felt ridiculous. So I appreciate it.
Conan callback. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Or night.
I liked when he did it like it was way past the year 2000, and they still did it on the year 2000. Yeah.
Best part.
Yeah.
It was great. As far as Evie goes with like Tiffany, I don't think that like Voce and Xander are really in as much trouble as that. I think that it was more of Evie didn't want to start the precedent of voting off the so-called weak player. She like did want to work with, the Voce and Xander. So I think that she would still like team up with them and and more than she would stick up with Tiffany.
Yeah. So. We have to see that for Evie, I think that Evie has Liana. It's really, I think it's going to be a question of like, how much is Tiffany a part of the plan? Aman, do you have a good read on that? Do you think that Tiffany could be expendable, or then it's Evie, it's Liana and Tiffany, and that's the three in that tribe?
I think it's once you have numbers, it's hard to give them up. I think, I mean, while I understand her she didn't want to, you know, participate in this. The normal, oh, let's just vote the girl out first. Let's vote the older woman out first because they were not going to be good in the challenges. Like, I get it. But that being said, she still wasn't good in the challenge. So it's like you're setting yourself up. But I think if you're willing to vote out somebody who was arguably much better, then what's the harm in, like, why would you vote that person out but then vote Tiffany out next? It doesn't make much sense to me. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. But I mean, if you have numbers.
But numbers, she said she wanted to see her and Liana to team up with the two boys. So, you know, two of the boys is more than the one of the Tiffany. So if you're going by numbers, then that would be the side of the numbers to go on, especially that it would also, with that small of a tribe, keep them from going back to tribal council as often.
Yeah. So, like I said, like I think yeah, exactly. I think what you should be doing is what she is doing, and just trying to get the team to be intact, and then just create the circle within the circle. So I don't know. Maybe I guess you know, if they spend more time together and they find that David and whoever else are a little bit more better for her game, and she enjoys playing with them more, then maybe it's bye bye Tiffany. But I mean, she did stick her neck out to save her. And I mean, it wasn't helped by the fact that, who was the guy that voted out? Abraham?
Abraham. Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't help that that guy was just like stone cold. Like, yeah, she's out of here. Get Tiffany out of here. And didn't want to talk about anything else. But stick to the plan. That's it. It felt very much like, well, I don't want to play a survivor like that. Like, I want to actually play. And so they were like, let's just get him out because he's not willing to actually engage. So he certainly didn't do himself any favors.
Yeah, no, he was, like, based on his, like, exit interviews and stuff, he's, like, exactly who I thought that he was, and there was, like, no surprises. It didn't seem like he had any changes of, like, heart or opinions or viewpoints after seeing anything else, and he's just,
He took it rather well.
Yeah, he's ready to play again.
I have no problem with him, right? He was unsurprising.
Right.
It was exactly what I expected. Mm-hmm. Sarah, on the other hand, did surprise me a lot, because you know, that wasn't what I expected from her at all. She was very, like, insightful. She gave, like, a lot of good information about, like, what was going on and what the tribe dynamics were. And, you know, I appreciated her. I think she would have been a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Which I didn't really care about her going.
That's the problem with a good cast. You know, that every person that you gets kicked off, you're like, oh, I would have liked to see more of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of people that surprised me, Xander and Shan were the two that, because I never thought, like, the bro dude and the pastor were the two that I was going to be like, all right, I like them, they're fun.
Mm-hmm.
As far as her, like, edit, you know, like, she's, like, got that theme song all day, just randomly will just pop in. I'll just be humming it. I wouldn't realize I'm doing it. All day long. But, you know, maybe it's, I don't know if y'all watched, like, the Survivor South Africa, the most recent one.
I did not.
The Rainier moment with him, like, pointing at Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, this big, like, funny, like, at the early in the season, it was, like, that kind of edit. And maybe she could be getting that kind of thing where.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was just a thought that crossed my mind.
Yeah.
Got quite a lot of notes there, girl.
I do. I mean, and this isn't even all of them. This is just what I wrote when y'all were talking. JD, I think he's fun to watch because he's just, like, so anytime the characters that I like the most are the ones where I can, like, feel how much fun they're having and how much they appreciate the experience and how much they're enjoying themselves. And that's fun to watch.
I appreciate that as well. Sorry to interrupt you, but I appreciate that as well. And every time I keep seeing players that are now, because, you know, the older I get, the more and more there are players that are younger than me that appear on the show.
Yeah.
It's like it's really inspiring, but it's also it's very cool for me because I'm like, you know what? Like, I am JD in a lot of ways, and it's a good thing that maybe I didn't get on the show when I was 21, because there's so much more that I've learned about myself that I feel like I feel like I just operate a lot better now that I'm 27 as opposed to 21. So it's always fun and interesting to watch really, really young people get onto the show at the height of their, oh my God, I'm going to be on Survivor. Like, it's just, it's so fun to watch.
Especially when they grew up with watching the show their whole life. I mean, it is, it is fun to see them play and then get out there. And, you know, I love JD. I'm definitely not rooting against him, but it is like interesting then to see like somebody who feels like they know everything then struggle doing the real thing.
Right. Right, exactly.
Yeah, he doesn't really seem to have quite the strategic mindset that he needs, which I think that Chantel's going to like help him a lot with that. That's I think that's why he's very eager to like follow her lead. To like, he's like, all right, I'm here and it's exciting, and I might be a little bit over my head, but I.
Why do I feel like he's going to be the reason that Chantel ends up going home? And then everybody is just going to be pissed off about it. Like, something's going to go wrong with the vote. Maybe he tries the shot in the dark and actually wins it, and then it sends her ass out. Like, I just feel like something's going to happen. It's just not going to be good. That's the vibe I get.
Yep. That's classic Survivor.
I've been watching a lot of International Survivor in the hiatus of the
sure
this one, so it's there's a lot on that on my mind. Okay, I got Xander. Yes, speaking of being young, that's like I really thought he was just going to be like too young, but he seems very, very mature, and he thinks about things well, and you know, apparently everybody loves him, and he is definitely surprised me. I mean, he's being strategic, but he's also being careful, and he's being honest and still playing the game and keep it. I don't know. It's a very interesting balance that he seems to have gotten for somebody that's 21. 21, 20? Ever old.
I think he's 21. Yeah.
Oh, do you think JD really did eeny, meeny, miny, mo?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Chappelle that on the feedback show that he said, JD said, you know, some of the best decisions ever made were made by eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Amon, do you ever use eeny, meeny, miny, moe to make big decisions?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
If I'm going to go into work today or not go into work today, you know, that's sort of what I use it for.
Do you, Kenzie?
Well, the thing is with eeny, meeny, miny, moe, it's one that your subconscious can rig for whatever way you want it to actually turn out.
That ending
has, it's very ambiguous about the way it ends. I've heard several different endings. So yeah,
eeny, meeny, miny, moe, my mother punched your mother in the nose.
Make the right decision that follows your gut. Absolutely. I think that's a very valid way of making any important decision. Very excited about Puya's double grenade because, you know, that was funny. Now he wants to win Big Brother.
Thank you.
So he can.
That'd be a tough. Puya would take a few L's this week. Aza can do it.
Damn, poor Puya, man. He really.
Yeah.
It would be memorable. It's legendary. It'll be talked about.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What more could you want? I'm not going to get into the whole guys thing. Twitter has been being really weird to me. It muted you, Rob.
What?
For some reason.
Well,
yeah,
what?
I clicked on something because somebody had like tweeted something, and I clicked on it, and I clicked on your profile, and it showed it was muted, and I have no idea how that would happen. It's like unfollowed people. Like I wasn't following Shannon Gus, and I know for a fact that I was following her before because I've like tweeted at her before. So it's been being weird.
Last thing, everybody, don't
forget to text Tiffany to 97979 tonight and again after midnight. Get any phones that you happen to come across randomly during the day.
Sure.
Do it.
Honestly, you know what? Like, I'm regretting. Like, I told you that's a story about you getting on top of the truck with the microphone. I should have said that instead of singing Katy Perry. Why didn't I? Damn it. Literally 50,000 people in a camping site doing nothing else.
Yeah. No, after you were done, you should have said, hey, I'm in a contest right now. My name is Tiffany. You have to text my name to 97979.
100%. I've seen some people tweeted that they don't watch the show, but they hear everybody talking about it and they text it. So,
wow. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe out here.
Okay.
All right, well, that's all. Thank you guys so much.
Kenzie, thank you so much. Okay. Take care. Bye. Bye. All right. Amon, we did it. How about
did
that?
It.
We did it.
We did the Q's and we did the A's.
We did the Q's and the A's. Amon, thank you so much for being here on the first week of the Survivor Q&A. It really meant a lot to me.
Thank you for having me. I feel like this is going to be a really good season of Big Brother, or Big Brother, Survivor.
Hey, no lies detected.
Right. I'm glad that everything is back together and everyone is getting their fixes again. It's been a long time. So everybody's back. It's great. The energy, once again, the energy at the party on Wednesday was really, really cool and pure, and everyone was just having such a good time. All of the alumni there were gracious and sweet,
like,
and kind.
Fun pictures, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a great time. So
yeah. So this Wednesday, Amon, we are going to be live episode number 2 of Survivor 41. We'll have know-it-alls live at 9:15 p.m. It's also going to be the 2-hour finale of Big Brother 23. A Big Brother winner will be crowned. We will have a live podcast at the end of that at 11:15. I'm going to attempt to be on both those podcasts.
Okay. I mean, if you can do a 5-hour podcast, you can certainly do two-hour podcasts.
Yeah, I think I may skip the first hour of the BB finale and just jump in right around like the last 40 minutes or so. And I think that there's not going to be too much important for stuff from the first hour.
Yeah, you should be fine. What is it? Just like the
part 2 of the HOH? Like,
yeah, maybe like a little Jerry stuff in there.
Yeah, so we'll see. And Amon,
I'm excited. I'm like having people coming over. We're gonna have like cookout style food.
Oh, that's fun.
it's gonna be a good time.
And Amon, it's my son's birthday on Wednesday. My wife makes a lot of t-shirts. I guess apparently that he requested some sort of Harry Potter I'm a Gryffindor birthday t-shirt.
Oh, is your son really into Harry Potter?
So I apparently didn't know. I think he's more into Big Brother 23 than Harry Potter, but I guess he's I guess Nicole asked him, what kind of shirt do you want me to make? And I guess he said Harry Potter.
Okay. All right. I gotta
send him to your stream.
Great. Yeah. Send him right over. I'm really trying to make my stuff more kid appropriate because so many people tell me that they have their children watching it, which is always just blows my mind because this was intended to just be for all the big kids, all the adults that can't seem to let Harry Potter go. But, you know, it's an ageless bracket. What can I say?
Where can people check out your stuff, Amon?
You can find me on Twitch, Amon Adwin. And you can find me anywhere online, Amon Adwin. So, yeah, I'll probably be back tonight, actually, with some more Harry Potter. I remember we got on 10:15-ish. So just check me out on Twitch. Check me out on Twitter. I'm in these streets.
Okay. Amon, thank you so much. We're going to be back tomorrow night with more slop. Jenny Autumn celebrated birthday this weekend. We're going to be talking about everything sloppy, including a gem surfaced today. Kyland was on The Price is Right. We will break that all down.
I still can't believe it took that long for people to find that.
I can't believe it. What a treasure here at the end of the season. Plus, everything else sloppy in the world of Big Brother with the finale coming up. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you listen to this podcast and you want to be here for next week, come on over to robinswebsite.com/patron October 1st. Great time to jump in and become a patron of Robin's Podcast. Thank you so much. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.